taking longer to see the truth. Palestinians know this so well. They've suffered under this system for 77 years, and they know exactly how hard it is to get people to see them as fully human. So some level of being able to roll with disappointments is part of this. But the BDS movement, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, has been around for 20 years, and it is very effective. And Portland has an opportunity to engage with a boycott kind of way with this sister city relationship, which is not entrenched. It's not a permanent thing. What has to happen is city council needs to bring a resolution, and they need to vote on it. So a city council, that the sister city relationship can be dissolved with a resolution and 7 votes in the affirmative.
You've been listening to an interview with Rebecca Ivy Galvan, a Portland resident who started a petition to end the sister city relationship between Portland and Ashkelon, Israel.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
We are proud to announce exciting news. KBOO Community Radio has been voted the best radio station in Portland by Willamette Week readers. In June, Willamette Week held a citywide poll to celebrate the businesses, people, and events that make Portland special. Thanks to your votes, KBOO took first place for 2025. We couldn't have done it without you. For over 55 years, KBOO has filled a need that other media can't, amplifying the voices of the unserved and underserved communities and offering a platform for stories and sounds you won't hear anywhere else. Our news and public affairs programming centers voices and perspectives that are often ignored, voices rooted in peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, and social change. KBOO's music and arts programming, from the traditional to the experimental, reflects the diverse cultures and creative expressions of our community. KBOO has been boldly and independently broadcasting since 1968. We'll keep going as long as you keep listening. Thank you for voting. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for making KBOO your community radio station. Listener supported, volunteer powered, and award winning.
If you didn't hear it before, you'll hear it again. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is The Underground. My name's Reagan, and the theme of tonight's episode is Back to School. Now, if you've been keeping up with The Underground since it returned back in 2023, I'm proud to say that this youth collective in particular is celebrating its second anniversary. Now, originally, the topic of back to school wasn't chosen for the specific reason that it's the anniversary, but our first episode when we returned is actually the exact same theme. Now, I will say, knowing the layout of the show, it's very different because the original episode contained, we pretty much acted like we were a school. Now, outside of that, I would also like to mention that we currently have the KBOO Out Loud fall drive going, so check that out on kboo.fm. And if you go to the website, you can see the red button. Hit that and you'll be taken to where you can donate. And currently, I think we have $45,000 is the goal. So we're about, let's see, $8,000 through. So go ahead and if you can, donate now. Now I'm passing things off to Eli for the quiz.
Good evening, I'm Elizabeth Rose, and you are listening to The Underground on KBOO. This month's theme is Back to School, as Reagan just mentioned, and for many of us, today was actually our first day of school, so I hope we're warmed up. Today, I'll be hosting another quiz show. If you've been tuning into The Underground, you may have heard some of the past ones I've done. So I'm going to ask about the four core subjects in school, science, English, math, and history, as well as some questions about PE for you jocks listening. I have four guests with me today. They could take turns introducing themselves and tell us their age and what grade they are coming into this fall, as well as their buzz-in noise, please.
Hello, I'm Sydney. I'm gonna be a freshman in college next year, and this is my noise.
Hello, I am Suzanne, and I just entered my freshman year of high school. This is my noise. Just a second.
All right.
I am Grayson. I am going into fourth grade this year, and this is my noise.
Hello, I am Nick. I'm a senior this year, and this is my noise.
Beautiful. All right. Well, our first subject is science class, so get ready. And the way this game will work for all of the rounds will be that you buzz in if you think you know the answer to the question, and whoever buzzes in first gets to answer first. If they are correct, they get the point, and we move on to the next question. If they get it incorrect, the rest of the team will get a chance to buzz in. And if no one knows it, I will just move on to the next question. Our first question is, what color is made when you mix red and blue? Oh my goodness. I believe I heard Grayson go first.
It is purple.
Perfect. Correct. Our second question is, what is the largest star in our solar system? Nick.
The sun.
Correct. Number three, what are the states of matter? Sid.
Solid, liquid, and gas.
That is three out of four. Does anyone know?
Plasma?
Yes.
Yep.
Number four, what's an herbivore? I believe I heard Sydney first.
They only eat plants.
They only eat plants. What about an omnivore?
They only eat meat. Right? Mm-hmm. Or no, they eat both, right?
I heard Grayson buzz in.
Meat.
Meat is... Suzanne?
Omnivores eat both plants and meat.
Correct. And what about a carnivore? Yes, Nick?
They only eat meat.
Correct.
We're so smart.
I know, right?
Alrighty. I mean, saying an omnivore eats meat is it's not true. Incorrect.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
It was just not the answer.
Long day, no.
Alrighty. What is the chemical formula for water? I heard Nick first.
H2O.
H2O is correct. Number eight. What is the first element on the periodic table? Do you guys want a hint?
Yes.
Oh, Nick?
Is it oxygen?
It is not oxygen. The hint we have is that it is represented by H. Yes, Nick?
Hydrogen.
Hydrogen is correct. Number nine, here's a physics question for you. If two identical waves are superimposed with Nick.
It cancels each other out.
Correct.
Wow.
Now, for our last science question, what does a plant cell have that an animal cell does not? Yes, Nick?
Mitochondria?
Incorrect.
No, it's a...
There are two answers, so two people could potentially get points.
Ooh.
If no one knows, we'll move on. Oh, I hear Grayson.
Is it water?
Water's a great guess, but is incorrect. Sydney?
It's like a... It starts with a C.
It does start with a C.
I really don't remember.
Cytoplasm?
Yeah.
No. Right? I'm looking for chloroplast and cell walls.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, if science isn't your thing, our next up is math class.
Oh, boy.
I will give you a math problem or a question about math, and whoever buzzes in gets their answer first. I tried to make them like a higher grade level each question, but who knows. To start off, what is 4 plus 7? Yes, I heard Nick.
13? 11. Never mind, I was wrong.
11 is correct.
I got it wrong.
Well,
I
guess I corrected it before. before anyone else buzzed
Nick,
in.
Man.
Number.
I've fallen off.
Yeah, you have.
They're only going to get harder from here, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, buddy.
Number two, 3 plus 7. 10. 10 is incorrect because the question was 3 plus 7 minus 9 equal... Yes, Sydney.
Hey. That's one.
It is one.
Yeah, it's one. There you go.
Number 3. What is the order of operations? Yes, Nick.
Do I have to like say each of them or can I say the acronym?
I would like you to say each of them.
All right. Parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction.
Correct.
Ooh. I am confused.
Number 4 is, what is 66 divided by 3? Was that Sydney first?
So 60.
He has to. It's like
22, right?
It is 22. Yeah.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What makes a triangle acute? Yes, Grayson.
Corners.
Corners is correct. If anyone can be more specific than that, yes, Nick.
All the angles are less than 90 degrees.
Yeah, an angle is less than 90 degrees.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
Yeah, I'll give you both a point.
Yeah.
Now, for number 6, what is a sum? I heard Sydney first, I believe.
It's like an answer. It's like
an answer.
It's like a.
Okay. If anyone can be more.
Okay. I can be more specific.
I think I heard Suzanne.
No, I was doing it at the same time, so it counts. Okay, a sum is for addition.
Mm-hmm. It is the quantity of added numbers.
So when you add two numbers together, it's the sum.
Yeah. So like if you did 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 is the sum. But if you do 3 minus 2, that's not a sum.
So it's kind of like the answer.
Yeah, it's the answer, but like specifically for adding. Mm. All right, number 7, we have... Find x in the following equation.
Ooh, okay.
You ready?
That's without serious. Paper. Yeah, oh boy.
23 equals 10x plus 3. Yes, Grayson.
It was in between 10x plus 3.
All right. Yeah. If anyone can tell me what x represents, I'll give it to them.
Times.
I hear Nick.
Is 2.
Yes. So both Nick. Yes.
Nerd alert.
Good job. Nerd alert.
That was easier than like the 4 plus 7.
This guy.
Nerd. Okay.
Nerd alert.
Okay. Number 8, we have, what is the square root of 196?
I don't know any square roots.
That's okay.
I don't know this one.
Well, we're getting up into the higher grade level math now. So, Nick?
14.
14 is correct.
No.
Good job. More English guy.
Now, number 9, what is the Pythagorean theorem? I want the, like, equation, not an explanation. Yeah, Nick?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
That is correct.
Oh, nerd alert.
Now,
God.
What would the transformation fx becomes fx minus 10 do to the graph of fx?
Okay.
Nick?
It would move it right 10.
Correct. It would translate 10 units to the right. Now, for our final math question, this is higher grade level math than I have been, so than I have taken, so my friend Grady helped me with this one.
This could be diabolical.
Yeah.
What I'm not going to get this one.
What is delta used to represent in math?
Oh, wait.
The difference between two things?
The difference? Yeah, there's another one if anyone else. Yes, Grayson? Did I hear you? Or was that Sydney?
No.
Okay. The difference is correct. Change would also be correct.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Now we will take a little break from the academics and talk about PE, gym class.
Yet to take that class.
I like PE.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Okay. Well, our first question is, how long's a marathon?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
This is too high for me.
Yes, Suzanne.
I'm going to say... 5K.
5K. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Sydney.
It's like 500 miles, right?
500 miles?
What? What?
No, sorry. It's like in the fives. Like
It's
like,
in the fives? Okay, does anyone else? Nick?
Is it 7 miles?
No. Grayson, would you like to take a guess? It's okay.
5,000 miles?
5,000 miles?
Wow.
Sydney?
It's 50 miles, right?
You guys are going so far.
I am going to move on to the next question.
Okay, wow.
A marathon is 26.2 miles.
Okay.
Huh? Kind of a random number, yeah. But I'm sure there's a story there. All right. How many players are on a baseball team? Nick?
48?
No.
Wait, I know that.
What?
Suzanne?
That is too much.
Nine?
Correct.
I hate baseball.
Yeah.
That's huge.
There are nine players, though a team may have more players who are just not playing at that time.
You know what? My mother told me.
So it could have 48.
No, I believe the highest is 26 on like professional teams, is what I have written down, though someone who knows more about sports may correct me. Alrighty. In soccer, what body part cannot touch the ball unless you are the goalie? I believe I heard Grayson.
Hands.
Hands is correct. Oh. Alrighty. What is the only sport to have been played on the moon? Anyone want to take a guess? Yes, Grayson.
Golf.
Golf is correct. You seem to be our resident jock.
I got this from a book, okay?
That's so cool. Alright. Number five. How much does an NFL football weigh? Yes, Suzanne.
I answered before I thought. I'm gonna say 7/8 of a pound.
7/8 of a pound. If anyone can get closer, they get the point. Yes, Nick.
1 pound.
1 pound is correct.
Oh, you see, that's what I was thinking.
All right.
Yeah.
Too easy.
Number six. In the fitness gram pacer test that many of us dread taking in gym class, what is the maximum number of laps possible? And everyone can take a guess, and whoever gets closest wins. I think I heard, we'll go with Grayson first and then go around the table.
I think it's either 6 or 5.
6? Okay. Anyone want to get closer than that? Yes, Nick.
100.
100. Anyone else want to take a guess? Sydney.
Wow. I'm pretty sure Nick's right, but I was going to say 70.
70?
I was going to say 70.
Suzanne.
sorry, I had to do the noise. I think I have no idea. Never done one of these. I'm going to take a guess and say 80. Sorry. 80? The other contestants had a strong reaction to the fact that I've never taken the
Alrighty. I'm going to give the point to Nick. According to Wikipedia, the highest number of laps possible is 247.
Not in our class.
Specific.
What?
Not in our class.
Going so
in
fast.
My school, it's 5 or 6.
Well, it's like a specific test. It's not just like any running. All right. And our last gym question is, what is indoor cycling commonly known as? Sydney.
Ooh. Indoor cycle.
Yeah, like stationary biking.
Okay, go ahead, Nick.
Oh, never mind.
Wait, Sydney.
It's pedaling.
Pedaling? Suzanne?
Exercise bicycling.
Okay. Anyone else want to take a guess before we move on?
Watch it just be like walking or running.
Yeah, it's gonna be like.
That's not what cycling is, Nicholas.
Yeah,
you got like a Peloton.
Yeah, I don't even know.
All right.
This isn't in my grade level.
Yeah. The answer I was looking for was spinning. If you've ever heard someone reference going to spin class.
Oh, no,
I know this,
Why
guys.
Why would someone go to spin class? You're basically just spinning around the whole time.
I know someone who goes.
It means like indoor bicycling. All right. Now, back to the academics. We have history class.
Okay.
I'm not good at history.
Number one, who invented the telephone?
Oh, I know this.
Nick.
Like Graham Bell?
If anyone knows his first name.
I do.
Suzanne?
No, not yet.
Okay, I'm going to just give the point to Nick then.
Oh, fine.
It is Alexander Graham Bell.
Oh, okay. It has middle name for some reason.
Yeah. All right. Number two, what was the name of the First Lady of the United States?
I could probably give the last name.
No.
I can do that as well.
Mrs. Wow. Washington.
What was her first name, though? Does anyone know? Come on, Suzanne. You like Hamilton? Yes, Suzanne.
Oh. I'm gonna say I don't know. This is a random guess. Okay. I'm going to say Elizabeth.
Elizabeth is incorrect. Alrighty. Sydney?
Isn't it like... I've never seen Hamilton, if I'm being so honest.
Well, it's like Eliza, U.S. lore, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, it's
that's the same name.
I don't know.
It is Martha Washington was the answer I was looking for.
Oh, I've definitely heard that.
Yes.
Never heard.
Number three. What were the Egyptian pyramids used as? Yes, Nick?
Tombs.
Tombs is correct. If anyone can get more specific, I can give them a point as well. Yes, Suzanne.
Tombs for pharaohs.
Yes. So I will give both Suzanne and Nick a point. Alrighty, number four. What was the first permanent European settlement in America called? The first permanent permanent European settlement in America.
This is not in my grade level.
That's okay. Nick?
Is it just like Maryland?
No.
Okay.
Anyone else want to take a guess? Okay, the answer we were looking for was Jamestown.
Wait, but I thought there was one like in Florida before that.
But it wasn't, I don't think it lasted.
Permanent, I missed that.
All right, number five.
I could have gotten
Could
that
someone one. Explain what manifest destiny is? Yes, Sydney.
Now you see, manifest destiny, they went west. They went and it took land to the west, right? Am I wrong?
No, like, that's correct.
Right, yeah.
Can I be more specific?
Go ahead.
It's the idea that like America should like expand westward and like fulfill its prophecies and like dreams, and it would like lead to like great things.
Yes,
it's interesting.
I will give the point to both of you. The answer I had written down was the belief that United States was destined to expand its dominion and spread democracy and capitalism across the North American continent. So, both of you explained that pretty well. Number six, what was the first or oldest recorded written language? What is the oldest written language we know about? Anyone want to take a guess? Yes, Suzanne.
Maybe something like Olmec?
Olmec?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good guess. Does anyone else have a guess? Alrighty. The answer we were looking for was cuneiform. Mm-hmm. Number seven.
Oh, I know that.
The 4th of July celebrates the ratification. Oh, yes.
The Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence is
correct.
That's
what I was going to say. I was going to say, like, independence.
Yeah. Number eight. Who painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? Yes, Sydney.
That's Michelangelo.
Michelangelo is correct.
Michelangelo did.
All right. Number nine. What year was the first Thanksgiving? Nick?
Like 1697.
Okay, if anyone can get closer than 1697. Yes, Grayson?
1978?
1978, that's a good guess. Suzanne, I heard you buzz.
Oh, sorry, I did it again. I'm gonna guess 1673.
Okay. And Sydney, would you like to make a guess before we reveal the answer?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give that point to Suzanne. She was the closest. The answer is 1621.
Oh, no. I should have gone earlier.
They were doing that early.
Yeah, they really did. They really did.
Alrighty. And our final history question, which also ties into science a little bit. What celestial body was discovered in 1930?
Ooh.
Yes, Nick.
Pluto?
Pluto is correct.
Oh, wow.
All right, now on to our final section, which is one of my favorite subjects, English. Last but certainly not least, we'll start off easy with, what is the third letter in the alphabet? I'm going to give that one to Grayson.
C.
C is correct.
How does he do it?
All righty. Which letters are vowels? Nick.
A-E-I-O-U. And sometimes Y.
Correct.
Well, yeah, sometimes Y.
Sometimes Y. Number three, for a little bit of a spelling bee, how do you spell dandelion? Grayson.
D-A-N-D-I
D-A-N-D-I-L-I-O-N.
Very close. I heard Sydney.
D-A-N-D-I-L-I-O-N.
Incorrect. Nick?
D-A-N-D-E-L-I-O-N.
Correct.
No, I had
you were
that.
All very close, but Nick finally got it. All right. Number four, which famous playwright invented over 1,700 new... yes, Nick?
Shakespeare?
Shakespeare on, is man. Correct. Number five, for another spelling bee question, how do you spell quarantine? I think I heard Sydney first.
Bruh.
Q-U. I think I might be like genuinely illiterate.
Okay, I heard Suzanne.
Yes, you did. Okay, quarantine. Q-U-A-R-E.
Incorrect.
Oh no.
Grayson.
Q-U-A-R-I-N-T-I-E-N-E.
Incorrect, Nick.
Q-U-A-R-A-N-T-I-N-E.
Correct.
All right.
So close, everyone. All right.
Bro knows how to spell every single word in the alphabet.
Number six. Gray is spelled two ways.
That's Sydney.
G-R-E-Y, G-R-A-A-Y, right? Remember.
You are correct. That was not the question.
Oh.
Would you like me to finish the question before we continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Gray is spelled, Nick?
America and in the UK.
Ooh. That is not the answer I'm looking for. Yes, Suzanne.
In the United States, it's spelled...
All right, everybody.
Listen, in the United States, it's spelled G-R-A-Y, and in the in Britain, it's spelled with an E instead of an A.
That is the answer I was looking for.
All right.
Huh?
The question I had written before all this was, gray is spelled two ways, with an A or with an E, which is the American spelling? And Suzanne gave me the answer, which is A. Number seven, getting into some of that maybe AP English for anyone who's taken that. What is anaphora? Does anyone have a guess? I will take... Oh, Nick?
When the, like, words use, like, repeated, like, sounds?
No, I don't think so.
Not quite, but very close. What I have is when sentences have repeated starts. For example, I have a dream in Martin Luther King's Jr.'s famous speech, or he sees you when from Santa Claus is coming to town. Number eight, what's an allegory? Nick?
Like an example, like using like a different thing to relate to another thing.
I heard Suzanne as well.
That confused me more. Okay, an allegory is, I'm not done.
Okay, you want to go?
Fine, I guess you can go first.
Sydney?
Okay. So an allegory is like, it's like usually in a story, mm-hmm. but it's like Nick said, it like kind of, it uses like characters and the setting to like comment on something else. I mean, if I'm wrong, I mean, Nick's the big one.
I'm going to give that point to Nick. Yeah. An allegory is when an element of the story has symbolism outside of the story. Nick is crushing, not to spoil the ending, but number nine, our penultimate question for this game, is to define ethos, pathos, and logos. Yes, Nick?
Appealing to emotion.
Which one's which?
Pathos is emotion, logos is logic, and ethos is like, authority.
Correct. Yes. Ethos is an appeal to ethos is an appeal to credibility. Logos, logic, and pathos, emotion. All right. Our final question is another a little bit of a tricky English one. What is the difference between Horatian and Juvenalian satire? Anyone have a guess? I'll take that as a no. Horatian satire is light and witty, meant to make the reader laugh, while Juvenalian is biting, mean-spirited, and often meant to provoke anger, which is not quite as pleasant. No. And that is the end of our game. Thank you so much for listening, and let me count up the points really quick.
All right.
Alrighty, so...
we have music
Grayson
now?
Grayson got 5 points. Good job, Grayson.
Woo-hoo!
Suzanne and Sydney tied for that second place spot with only 6 points, only one more than Grayson. You guys were all pretty close.
There we go.
And Nick won with a whopping 26 points.
No! He's a
nerd! Loser!
He's a nerd!
I can't help it.
Oh my. Good job, you guys. I hope we all have a wonderful rest of our school year. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to stay tuned, because next up we have Advice for Freshmen by Sydney and Suzanne.
Thank you for listening to the KBOO Youth Collective. I'm Sydney, and I'm here with...
Suzanne.
You know, since we're talking about back to school season, graduated primary school. I graduated with the class of 2025 last summer. I'm an old man. I know I'm going to be like limping soon and stuff. Ah, my back. I'm going to be going to the University of Oregon. I'm going to be majoring in public relations, and I'll be a college freshman. And Suzanne, she's going into her first year at Benson High School, and she's going to be a high school freshman.
Very excited. Just finished middle school at Da Vinci Middle School, and I'm very excited for Benson.
They got good programs over there. We thought that we would talk to each other about our times as incoming freshmen and give each other some advice and tips and answer each other's questions. So Suzanne, why did you choose Benson as your high school? I mean, as you may know, listener, Benson's a lottery school, so that means you have to sign up on the website and there's only a select chance to get in. And they offer all sorts of career technical education, like tech skills, automotive, digital design. Why did you pick Benson, Suzanne?
The lottery wasn't really part of it for me. Because my sister goes there, I automatically get in.
Wow. So you're like a Nepo baby then?
Yes, exactly.
I see. Like Racy Abrams.
Sure.
Yeah, her dad ruined Star Wars.
I'm sorry. Anyways, it's quite a switch from Da Vinci. Da Vinci was an art school. That's why I went to middle school. And I enjoyed Da Vinci a lot, but I don't think that art is what I want to follow as a career. And I think Benson will be a good step for me to take in order for me to get to my career and potentially get a good job right out of high school. At the moment, I'm planning on doing radio at Benson, but the first 2 years of Benson, you get to basically try everything out, so we never really know. First thing I wanted to ask is if you had any advice for incoming freshmen like me after 4 years of high school. What's your best tips?
Just make sure you try to do... Don't be afraid to do things like different clubs and activities or go to stuff, because for a long time, you know, I was really scared just to go to different events like sports games or even like dances. But when I just started doing things one day, I did a lot in high school. I was the treasurer of the student body government. I was in the leadership program. I wrote one article in journalism. I was in the AV club. Like, I did a lot. And you know, if you just have a passion for just like a little bit of passion for like something that comes up and you have like just a little bit of interest, like just try it out. You know, just for funsies, like for the plot, you know, you'll get a good story out of it. That's the worst case scenario, you'll get a good story out of it. You can tell like your kids someday, I don't know. Just have fun with it. Like, don't take things like that too seriously if you're too anxious to want to join something. Don't major in computer science. You know, those kids, they're a little interesting. They'll program. You might see in a second. Yeah, that's my advice so far.
All right.
So Suzanne, like you said, you know, you said you're going into the radio major. Why do you want to do radio?
Since my sister has been doing radio, I've got to have like a lot of opportunities to experience it, like this KBOO.
It's true.
And as well, I have gone to Benson after school and gone on air at KBPS, and I've really enjoyed it. But even before my sister was into radio, we had always talked how if I was going to go to Benson, I would probably do radio because I like doing theater and I like speaking.
Yeah, that's true.
I've always thought it would be fun to do like a radio play.
Yeah. Ooh, that, yeah, you get to do that in the KVPS curriculum, I think. You do in sophomore year. I don't remember what my play was about, to be honest. You know, I'm an old soul. Yeah, you know, I'm a follower any day. Do you have any other majors you would pick if there were no radio major? What would you pick instead?
I've always been interested in automotive.
Mm.
And honestly, I don't know that much about automotive or really most of the majors at Benson. So I think I'm going to have a lot of learning to do in my freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I co-host the automotive show on KXL, and I don't know too much about automotives myself, so you know, just fake it till you make it, that's my mantra, and it seems to be doing pretty well so far.
Yeah, it. As well, I've met the radio teacher at Benson.
Mm-hmm. Jacob. Yeah,
Jacob, he's amazing. I love him, so I'd love to have him as my teacher.
Yeah, shout out Jacob, we love you, man.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'd like to ask you, so you're going to University of Oregon?
Yes, that's correct.
I was wondering, like, why did you choose that school? And how did you know that that was, like, going to work out the best for you?
I love the University of Oregon. They're just so spirited. They have a lot of spirit. They have a lot of pep to them. And at Benson, we don't have too much spirit, to be honest. That's another little piece of advice for you. A lot of people are kind of boring. Like, they're the most bizarre characters you'll ever meet, though. But they're just a little boring with, like, school spirit. But they're still, like, they have, like, a lot of energy. Like, they're on go always. Or, like, there's something crazy about them. Like, there's no, like, straight-up normal person at Benson. But they just, none of them like spirit. That's, like, something they all have in common as, like, unison. I don't get it. But University of Oregon has a lot of spirit, and that definitely interested me when I was thinking of going to different colleges and I was making my decisions. It's definitely cheaper to stay in state. I love the Ducks. I've loved the Ducks since I was a kid and aspired to go to the University of Oregon. When I was young, I saw the people with the Ducks merch and all that, and I thought it was cool. Like, oh, they went to the university. And like, I saw all the college experience, like in the movies and all that, and I'd like yearned to go to the University of Oregon. But that kind of changed over time. But now I mean, I feel like it's like fable, like it was like presented to.
Wow. Yeah, I also wanted to add on to that question is, are there any resources that really helped you like figure out which college you wanted to go to, and how did you research? Did you visit different schools?
You know, I kind of just did everything by myself. I just did a bunch of research by myself. I didn't really have too much help. I tried to get help from, I'm a first generation student, so my family, they didn't go to college. I live with my mom, a single parent background. So I was kind of doing the majority of it myself. I seemed to lock in pretty well, and everything, the program's great. You know, I just looked at their website, I looked at the programs, I just weighed the pros and cons for my financial aid packages from the schools I got in. And it definitely influenced me, the fact I got a good amount of financial aid from the university. And that it's in state, it's so close to home, in case anything happens, you know, any emergencies, like I can get back there easy. But yeah. Any programs? I guess the University of Oregon Scholarships Program is really good. The Oregon Student Aid portal is really good. You got to sign up for Student Aid. You got to lock in on that. You have a bunch of money and scholarships there. Just scholarships. Scholarships really helped. So what classes do you think you're looking forward to the most, or the which one are you looking forward to the least, Suzanne?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I put psychology as my third option for an elective.
Yeah.
So we get one elective in our freshman year. I put in order Spanish 1-2, drafting and design, and psychology. And I ended up getting psychology. I've already emailed my counselor and asked her to switch me into Spanish.
That's a great decision. You know, getting that Spanish done already, you'll be set up really well later.
I really want to get my Spanish done in my first 2 years, because then I can have my junior and senior year to focus on like my major and to focus on AP classes. Because as far as I'm aware, I don't think Benson has AP classes for freshmen. But the other class I'm really not looking forward to that is a core class is physics.
Physics. Ooh, I remember I had physics with Miss Kuhlman so long ago. She was gone for most of the year. I think she was pregnant. God bless her soul. But she was a good teacher. I liked her. There was this guy named Chet in class, and he only said the brain rot the whole time. He had like anger issues. He dropped out after the first semester.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been a science or math person, So I'm hoping I have a really great math teacher. I've heard a lot of good things about a lot of the teachers at Benson, so I'm excited for that.
You know, you just got to fake it till you make it. Like, don't fall off. Like, if you crash out in that first semester of freshman year and then you lock in the rest of the year, you'll, like, always regret. Like, you got to start really strong. Like,
I'm starting to regret. I took a B in compacted math. So in eighth grade, I took Algebra 1-2. And I ended up with a B in that class, and I could have retaken it, but I chose to take the B.
Honestly, you know, that's sometimes what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to alleviate some
stuff. I think it's worth it. Again, like getting Spanish done with, I really want to have a lot of time to focus in junior and senior year.
Yeah, that's true. My senior year, I'd always go down to the radio program. I'd always go down to the building and be on air with my friends, and I'd have a good old time.
Yeah,
you had a lot of more college prep too, because you'd free up some periods.
Yeah, so speaking of that stuff, So I wanted to know, since, you know, there's like majors and things at Benson, are you continuing on with like your major at Benson or something related? Is what you did at Benson helping at all with your plans for college?
Yeah, what I did at Benson, I majored in radio productions, audio productions and communications. So I edited a lot of audio, made a lot of different segments. I mean, it's kind of how I got to hear on KBOO. I mean, you listening, you wouldn't be listening without the radio, to the segment without the radio program. But I'm actually going to be majoring in public relations. And public relations has to do with the media and perception of a brand or person or political entity or anything like a PR person. A PR person made Benson Boone do all those backflips. Like, someday I'm gonna save Benson Boone's career. It's actually on my bucket list. But yeah, I my dream job, I want to be a manager in the music industry. I think that'd be really cool, like making different campaigns, different like album rollouts. I'm a big music fan, and I do think what I did in the radio program will definitely benefit me. I will be going to the School of Journalism and Communications. That's what the major's under, and a lot of the same skills and practices I've already covered over at KBPS, so it's going to be a big refresher. Also, the skills at KBPS have brought me many, many, many diabolical opportunities, and it'll definitely like sort of find me some more opportunities over there, which I'll go over the same things I already did. So it's kind of a loop in on itself, where I'm just like hanging out for a lot of the time and don't really have to do anything too crazy, which is nice. But speaking of college, do you have any dream college plans already? What's your dream school? If you could, if you had all the money in the world, .0, you could get in any school.
If nothing is an issue, including my own talent, then... my dream school is NYU. But honestly, I haven't done very much research on any sort of colleges. I definitely would like to travel out of state, or even if I could, out of country, at least do some sort of exchange program or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I definitely know community college is a really great option.
Yeah, they got the Oregon Promise over here. You take 2 years of community college, and then you get a free ride to any college in the state,
yeah.
Like U of O, LSU.
Yeah, so
that's a good option. I used to want to go to Oxford. Actually, it's in
England. Oh wow! Yeah.
I didn't do that, but
I mean, as much as I want to travel and stuff and go somewhere different from where I've been living like my whole life, I think, you know, it might be worth it to stay here for like 4 more years or whatever.
Yeah, they have good opportunities over here. And if you want to study abroad too, like University of Oregon, they got a lot of study abroad programs.
Yeah, definitely. Like, something I'm thinking about.
Huge program over there. You can go to a lot of different places and earn a lot of college credit, like for languages. Like, you get languages right out of the way in college if you do that. I don't have enough money to do that, but maybe if I get more financial aid, I'll do it.
I better start saving now.
Yes. Yes, you should. That's another tip, like lock in.
Yeah, definitely. Not great at that. So, I wanted to ask, what are you most nervous for and what are you most excited for? Because I know from experience, it can be kind of scary to start a new school, especially something like college. That's a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was really nervous when I got in and everything and I made my decision. I was just nervous about, like, I'm nervous now about the coursework and stuff. You know, it shouldn't be too crazy, but I'm just worried it's going to, like I'm going to burn out eventually, because for me, I feel like I do too many things and then I burn out at one period. So like I like tack too many things on, like this extracurricular, this one, and then I just have like this period where I burn out for maybe like 2 weeks, and then I slowly cut back.
Makes me think, how in high school, how bad was your like homework and workload?
It was, I mean, I had to go through a lot of like external factors that kind of interfered with it for a few years and like different semesters. To take care of my mom for a bit. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2023. So I had to do all that, and that impacted my grades. And that was hard on me. I have multiple disabilities, and that kind of hindered me for a while until I got the right services. But overall, like looking back, it wasn't too crazy. It's not that crazy.
Well, looking
like,
back,
you're on the cusp of like a B into an A, and you have to do one little like Google slideshow presentation. Just do the presentation, like, yeah. You know, like you're gonna regret like not doing the little presentation or the little Google Doc, fill in the blank. If you're on the cusp of a grade, just get it over with. Like get that extra push.
Definitely good advice.
Something I'm looking forward to in college, I'm looking for forward to the social aspect. I'm a big extrovert. I love talking to people. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to going out. And I'm looking forward to meeting new people. Like, I met at my orientation a lot of cool people. We tried watching Fight Club, but we couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work. So we made a Hinge profile of this girl from Utah, like rural Utah. It was funny. I forgot her name. But, and then we looked at all the guys from Utah. I don't know. It was fun though. And I'm just really excited to meet new people.
Definitely.
I also worry that I'll annoy them a lot, because I'm sometimes annoying. And that's kind of scary. But yeah.
It's okay. There'll be people who like you no matter how you are.
Thank you. My final question. If you could tell your future self something right now, what would you tell her? You have to tell her.
Okay. Yeah. Well, kind of like we said before, my future self. See, it's really easy to say this right now. If I could tell my future self, don't procrastinate and just do your work, because I've always had good enough grades, but I've also always procrastinated for a long time and stressed myself out and did it last second, and I know I'm going to continue doing that. And yeah, I mean, I have an older sister who's gone through Benson. She's going into her senior year. And she says it's really easy and not too bad, but she's always been better at that kind of stuff, like school. So
right, I get that.
I want to have good grades, but I don't want to worry about it too much. Like, I feel like I can still get mostly A's if I don't worry. I feel like I worry for no reason sometimes.
Yeah, I do that too. Like, I have a lot of like anxieties. If you could tell your graduated self or your college freshman self something, though, that's kind of what I was.
Oh, I see.
Like a little hi.
I don't know. It's hard to tell your future self something. Okay. If I could tell my future self something, like college future, I'd say travel for me, because I know what I just said about community college, and it can be good to get yourself started. But like, I feel like even if it's expensive and I can't afford it, I want to do it. It's worth it to me. I feel like the few times that I have traveled in my life, it's made a big difference, and I'm excited to be an adult who can do it and maybe do some stuff independently. I'm not great at being alone.
Yeah, me
neither. Maybe travel sometime by myself, even if it's just like going to the coast or something.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really fun. Well, you've been listening to KBOO Radio. This is the KBOO Youth Collective. I'm Sydney, and I've been here with
Suzanne.
And thank you for listening. Bye bye bye. Bye.
Bye bye. Bye.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Youth Collective on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM on your radio dial and KBOO.FM on your internet dial. My name is Grayson, and I am 9 years old. Today, I want to talk about saying goodbye to our friend Summer. Summer has always been my favorite time of year because it feels like one big adventure. I had the best time sleeping and staying up late, watching movies and playing video games with my brother. Those late night gaming sessions were a blast, and I wouldn't trade those for the world. Our family also enjoyed so much delicious food together, barbecues, ice cream, and all those tasty summer treats. One of my favorite activities was swimming. I love splashing around in the pool with my friends and just soaking in the sun, enjoying the water on those hot days. We traveled to new and old places, explored, and even went fishing. I also loved riding bikes outside and just soaking up the sun. But now that school has started, it's time to say goodbye to summer. I'm excited to see my friends again and learn new things, but I will really miss those lazy days where I could relax and have fun. Let's hold on to those amazing summer memories. Even though it's ending, we can keep that summer spirit alive by planning fun after-school activities and hanging out with those who made a difference in our lives this summer. Thank you for listening to a fantastic school. Here's to a fantastic school year ahead. Goodbye, summer. You will be missed until next summer.
Hello and welcome back to another segment of The Underground. I'm Meryl Simon, and today I want to talk about two fascinating and often overlooked moments in the early 20th century history. They both involve people seeking self-determination, but they both happen thousands of miles apart, with no connection to each other. First, let's talk about the Bogd Kanate. Picture this, it's 1911. The powerful Qing dynasty of China is collapsing, and nations across Asia are seizing the moment. In Outer Mongolia, a group of princes and Buddhist lamas decided to take their chance. They declare independence from China, and they install their spiritual leader, the Bogd Khan. As the head of their new nation, they call it the Bogd Kanate. It was a theocratic monarchy, a bold statement of autonomy in a turbulent world. This short-lived state, though it faced many challenges, was a crucial step on Mongolia's long road to becoming the independent nation it is today. Now, let's shift gears completely, and I mean completely. We're traveling across the entire continent of Asia, to the Pacific coast of Russia. Here, we find something called Green Ukraine. This wasn't a political entity like the Bogd Kanate, but a region named by Ukrainian settlers. Starting in the late 19th century, millions of Ukrainian people, often escaping poverty and overpopulation, moved to the Russian Far East. They built farms and villages, creating a distinct Ukrainian community far from their homeland. Then, during the Russian Revolution and Civil War, they briefly tried to establish their own self-governing entity. It was unofficial, but a powerful movement, a group of people, far from home, trying to forge their own destiny in a time of chaos. So, while they both represent a yearning for self-rule, the Bogd Kanate and Green Ukraine were separate historical events, born out of different circumstances in vastly different parts of the world. Let's dive a little deeper into these stories. The Bogd Kanate wasn't just a simple declaration of freedom. It was a complex political game. When the Mongolian nobles declared themselves independent, they knew they needed more than just a declaration. They immediately sought protection from the powerful Russian Empire, which saw an opportunity to gain influence on its southern border. So, the Bogd Kanate existed as a precarious space. It was both a theocratic state, with the Bogd Khan ruling with the authority of both a religious leader and a monarch, but it was also a pawn on the geopolitical chessboard between Russia and China. This delegate balance couldn't last forever. In 1919, China sent troops to occupy Mongolia, ending the first period of its independence. For a brief moment, the country was a theater for the Russian Civil War, with white Russian forces taking control. It was the only after these forces were defeated by Soviet-backed Mongolian army that new communist-aligned state would eventually form, bringing the short and unique story of the Bogd Kanate into an end in 1924. Now, let's go back to Green Ukraine. What makes this story so compelling, it wasn't a political event led by nobles or lamas, but a grassroots movement of common people. The Ukrainian settlers didn't just move into the Far East, they recreated a little piece of their own land. They built their own schools, printed their own newspapers, and formed community councils to keep their language alive, and traditions too. During the chaos of the Russian Civil War, with no central authority to answer to, these communities came together. They held conferences that even proclaimed their own Far Eastern Ukrainian Republic. Imagine that, a country, its name, thousands of miles from its ancestral homeland, founded on a collective will of farmers and laborers. Of course, it was a dream that couldn't survive the political realities of that time. The Bolsheviks, who ultimately won the Civil War, had no interest in an independent republic in the region. By the early 1920s, the dream of an independent Ukraine was over and the territory became a part of the Soviet Union. So, while these two moments in history are not connected, they both show us something powerful. They reveal the enduring human desire for self-determination, for a place to call your own, and the right to shape your own future. One was a national bid for freedom, the other was a cultural dream in a far-flung land. But both are a testament to the resilience of the people's spirit. I'm Rose Simon, and up next is Clem with School Furniture. Good night, everybody.
Summer's ends around the bend, just flying. The swimming suits are on the line, just drying. I'll meet you there for our conversation. I hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling, until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing. In your car, the windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. Valentines break hearts and minds at random. That old Easter egg ain't got a leg to stand on. Well, I can see that you can't win for trying. And New Year's Eve is bound to leave you crying. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Come on home. The moon and stars hang out in bars just talking. I still love that picture of us walking. Just like that old house we thought was haunted. Summer's end came faster than we wanted. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home.
How you doing, KBOO? Since it's the back to school episode, I put together a playlist of songs about the summer ending and school beginning. That was John Prine's Summer's End. Next is Ballad of a Thin Man by Bob Dylan.
Into the room with your pencil in your hand. You see somebody naked and you say, who is that man? You try so hard, but you don't understand just what you will say when you get home. Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? You hand in your ticket and you go watch the geek, who immediately walks up to you when he hears you speak and says, how does it feel to be such a freak? And you say, impossible, as he hands you a bone. And something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? You facts when someone attacks your imagination, but nobody has any respect anyway. They already expect you to all give a check to tax deductible charity organizations. Been with the professors and they've all liked your looks. With great lawyers you have discussed lepers and crooks. You've been through all of F. Scott Fitzgerald's books. You're very well read, it's well known.